Kink 101 is proud to present Deviant Discussions, where kinksters come together and put the why in kink. With Diavol Diablo, Subtle Shadow, and Glass Girl, this is Deviant Discussions.
Okay, so today we are going to have a discussion about you, Glass, I guess. Not just you, but anyone that's interested in the same kind of thing as you. So I want to know what it's like being little, because I don't know a lot about it. I don't know about you, Shadow. People have told me in the past that I have some little tendencies, but I wouldn't be able to say that I was a little or anything like that. So I wanted to know what it was like for you, Glass. Like, how long ago did you learn that you had little tendencies and be able to put a name to it and things like that?
Well, I didn't know there was a name for it, really, until I joined FET. But as far as little tendencies go, I've always been someone very, very much a child at heart. Like a sense of wonder. I get super excited about everything. I've always enjoyed plushies and coloring and, you know, things that remind you of what it was like when you were little. And so it wasn't until I came to FET that I realized that it was an actual thing. And there was a name for what I enjoyed and what I liked, you know, to do. It was a really exciting time for me to discover that.
Is it kind of liberating to know that there's a name that you can put to it and to be able to identify that way?
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, it's just really evolved over time. One thing about, you know, being little is I guess every kinkster is different, but I mean, there'll be littles that are in that headspace the majority of the time when they're in their dynamic. And then there are littles who kind of shift in and out of that headspace. And perhaps there are other things at other times. So it's really individual too, even though that there tends to be some characteristics in common.
And so do you think that it's ever a derogatory term? Like, I mean, you know, obviously it can be empowering to be able to learn that it's a whole space, but does it ever get used in a derogatory way? You know, someone calling you little, like, is it ever a negative or is it always a positive space?
I had to work through some shame around it. And I think it has to do with the fact that I'm an adult and, you know, publicly admitting the things that I enjoy was, I had to work through shame on that because I felt at times silly that, you know, my bed is filled with stuffed animals and I color to the wax and I love Disney movies and, you know,
okay, everything you're saying is like me. I feel like I'm being outed right now as a little.
Well, I think that many of us have, you know, have moments of that, right? Where we kind of revisit those times. And for me, I also enjoy it in the form of a dynamic with someone else. You know, I very much enjoy the nurturing of a daddy, no matter the gender. I enjoy that kind of bond of caregiver and myself very much.
And what does it feel like if you have that kind of dynamic and it starts to, I mean, I assume that you have to have those same conversations about negotiations and things like that, but having that conversation and building that dynamic, because I had a daddy, you know, and we talked about that and things, but it was never I was never a little in the relationship. He was just the daddy. But what is it like as a little going into that kind of a conversation and negotiation with somebody?
I think it depends on the kind of little that you are. Like for me, it's not in the dynamic that I've been in, it's not a headspace that I kind of inhabit all the time. So certainly I kind of move through headspaces where I'm very much service submissive and adult. very much masochist, but my little is not involved with my masochism at all. So, you know, I would kind of close the door on that headspace when those types of activities are taking place. So it's really about finding like what your littleness, how does that need to be expressed? For some littles, age play is non-sexual. For other littles, age play is non-sexual and sexual. So those are all kind of all the things that you talk about in negotiation. Like, and of course, you know, what your partner's into as well.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever encountered it where you've seen someone in that, you know, daddy figurehead kind of role, but they haven't adopted that role themselves before and they've kind of struggled with it? Because, you know, I've read plenty of writings where people have struggled with the whole adopting the honorific of daddy. And I wondered, as a little, have you ever experienced that?
Absolutely. You know, someone saying, I'm not a daddy. I'm not a daddy. I'm a dom. And then, you know, kind of evolving into, I'm like, are you sure? Because there's some pretty strong characteristics, and, you know, and then, you know, trying the daddy title on for size, like just having me say it to see what it feels like. I'm kind of exploring it that way. And then once that started happening, like where I, you know, would say it, it was, you know, welcomed with open arms, like, you know, evolved into a daddy. But just like myself, where I kind of moved through different headspaces, they did as well. So there'd be times where they were, excuse me, very daddy-like, and then other times where they were, you know, traditional, you know, serious dom. But yeah.
And is the headspace like, okay, so for you being a little, is your little headspace a noticeable shift within yourself, or do you like feel it approaching?
Yes, both. Yeah. yeah, it's definitely. Different things can bring that kind of headspace out. And I won't like divulge all of that on the podcast. But, you know, certain words, certain activities kind of speak to that headspace and we'll pull it out more forward. Especially if I'm like super excited about something, or if I'm super sad and I need comforting, those are kind of extreme spectrums where she'll come, like that side of you will come out more naturally. Mm-hmm. But I would say it's definitely a bit more like age regression, for sure.
That's interesting you brought up age regression, because I think sometimes people tend to forget that DDLG doesn't have to have an age component to it.
It doesn't. That absolutely doesn't.
Yeah. And that I thought that for probably the first 6 months that I was exploring kink. I was like, oh, I'm not really into age play. So DDLG isn't for me. And yeah, I think that's a very common misconception.
I think so too. I think, and I think a lot of it has to do with the media and kind of especially the porn and stuff that's put out there.
Yeah.
But definitely with DDLG or caregiver, you know, little dynamics, there doesn't need to be any age play for it to be, you know, to be valid. Your dynamic is whatever you decide it's going to be. But another misconception is that all littles are submissive because they aren't. Power exchange isn't always present in a caregiver dynamic.
Hmm. Interesting. Can you maybe, is there like an example of something that might be an activity that a caregiver and a little might do together that didn't involve power exchange?
I think, you know, I think about, do you mean like a sexual activity or just any activity in general?
Well, I mean, I suppose there's like the telling of a bedtime story or, you know, there's things like that so maybe more
coloring together.
I guess it's difficult you know, when you said that, I feel like it makes sense in my head, but then I start thinking it's difficult for me to envision a caregiver as not some form of a dominant. And
right.
So but that's only because in my personal identity, power exchange is my biggest kink. So I'm right. kind of like, I see it over in the corner, but I just can't get there. So like, I'm trying to think of like how, I'm really intrigued by the idea of having a dynamic in which power exchange is not part of it. And it could just be, like you say, there's the giving of support and the mutual, you know, uplifting of two individuals involved in this relationship. You know, and I have a friend who's a daddy, and he described it more as like, you know, he was making sure that his little was, he would give her tasks and things like that and activities to do, which would be tallied in such a way as to merit a reward at a later time. And that aspect to me does sound kind of power exchangey, but right. there's
that you made that a verb.
Yeah, it's great. And but at the same time, you know, he would say, and then there's the things he proceeded to explain. In my head, I was thinking, well, that sounds like a really what any healthy relationship should have, which is right. you know, that he's encouraging her to, you know, she sets these goals and he supports her and her, you know, the things she wants to accomplish, be it, you know, on a kink level or as on a vanilla level, you know, like her professional life or whatever. And meanwhile, she might be like, hey, did you take your cholesterol pills tonight? You know, things to right. like make sure that he's, you know, taking care of his body and eating all of his vegetables and things. And it's just like, it sounds almost like, when he was done, I mean, I was like half joking, but I was like, you guys sound like an old married couple, like, honey, don't forget to take your pills, you know? So it's, but at the same time, it's something very endearing and heartwarming about that kind of relationship.
Very much. Yeah. And I think, you know, I know littles who are sadists. You know, I know a little that's a switch. So it's
yeah interesting.
And they also, I think service is a big component of, at least for me, it's not for everybody, but for me, power exchange, you know, service is a big component of that. And so when I think of, you know, power exchange not happening in a DDLG relationship, I think of like the absence of the little serving the dominant.
Okay.
Or the daddy, right? So it's more about, you know, the daddy encouraging and protecting and guiding and providing nurturing for their little. And there's certainly probably give and take as far as what they give each other, like you described, like, you know, checking in to make sure the daddy's taking care of themselves and the daddy's checking on the little. But as far as direct service, where the little's kind of putting their needs aside, like they would in power exchange. I think, does that explain it? Does that give you a better idea?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
And so with being a little and things like that, you know, there is a huge amount of like DDLG and things like that in memes and in porn, like you say, that aren't always accurate depictions and whatnot. But what's it like as a community? You know, do you have your own sort of, well, I suppose like a little, not support group, but like spaces that you can all come together that you get to share in that freedom of if you are someone who regresses, you know, you can do that together, or you can just be in the presence of other littles. Is it a big community that is shared, or is it kind of you're on your own?
There are, I haven't discovered one up here. I've thought about starting one actually, But I know that there are in the States. I mean, there's a Littles conference. I think it's the Teddy Bear. I can't remember what it's called, but it's in the northeastern states. And it's a whole conference just for, caregiver and little dynamics, where they do, watch movies together and, coloring and activities and all that kind of thing.
Oh my God, that sounds like my dream day out.
Right, exactly, right?
Like, seriously, this episode is full on out in me as a little, I'm sure of it.
It's so great, right? Like, I'm actually considering going to the aquarium later after this, and I'm like, I might go get some ice cream too.
I think this episode is just going to make us all turn into littles, because it just sounds so, like, it sounds like a happy place to be.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm sure there must be drawbacks. And, you know, as much as we can talk about the positives and make it sound like the most amazing dynamic to be in, I feel like we kind of owe it to people to talk about the negative side. You know, like, what are the more difficult aspects of being in a caregiver dynamic, and you know, the least enjoyable parts of being a little?
Well, I think the misconceptions, when it comes to thinking that it's a form of pedophilia, feeling judged, thinking that it's a form of incest, thinking that it's not a valid BDSM dynamic, or that I'm not as submissive, because honestly, all littles aren't. But thinking that I wouldn't make a good submissive because I have a little side, being discounted for those reasons. And again, like, not always having a space. I mean, you go to a dungeon to a play party. There's not generally there spaces for you to express your that side of yourself.
Yeah.
Unless it's specifically for, DDLG or Littles, like they created a party or like that conference I mentioned.
Yeah, we have groups like that in the UK. I've seen a lot of events that are dedicated to littles just getting together and being themselves in a group. And they kind of, if they have a caregiver, they can bring the caregiver. And if they don't, it's sort of just they almost lean into each other for that support, which I think is, it's really nice that there is that space out there for people.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
I think also there's a stereotype of what a little or what a baby girl or what a baby boy should look like. So the stereotypical would be, early 20s, and that is not the case. And so sometimes when you feel that, if you don't look like that, for instance, I am not in my 20s.
Okay.
I am not petite. You start to feel like you don't fit with what other people believe a little should be. And you start to question whether, if you are valid in the community because of that, or if, a daddy or a caregiver will want you because you don't fit that stereotype.
Isn't that interesting? It's almost like every subset of kink has that conundrum of, am I blank enough? Am I kinky enough? Am I sadistic enough? Am I masochist enough? Like,
am I submissive enough?
Yeah, exactly. And it's so interesting to think about how, the fact is that, like, literally everybody at some point feels that they aren't enough. And it's just so, in a way, it almost
sad.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's also just like, I don't even know, in a way it makes me feel closer to the community, because we all go through that at some point,
Yeah, it's kind of like saying that everyone has a particular body hang up.
Yeah.
You suddenly feel more like you identify with people because you feel like you don't identify with people.
I know, right? It's like that whole being alone together thing. But
oh gosh, I haven't heard that in such a long time.
Yeah. And but yeah, this is just really interesting to me, because right now I'm kind of exploring a So I am seeing someone who I call daddy, and he affectionately calls me little girl. And I don't think that there isn't any kind of real age play going on so much as those words are so charged for both of us that the language itself is almost the kink. So,
Like the kink itself isn't the kink, but the language associated with it.
Like him, like, spread your legs for daddy. Oh my God. Like, fuck. Okay. Like, geez. But it's just, I don't know. Like,
we found the password to get shot out as well.
Yes, it is. It is. It's
anytime
the magic
I need
word.
Something doing on the website, I'm just going to be like, do something for daddy.
Oh my God. But right, like, it's just words. That's something I think too gets overlooked, or at least in my mind, it doesn't get as much recognition as the power of language in kink and BDSM and what these words carry
totally.
With them.
Totally, I agree.
And I think that's true. To Glass, you were saying how there are certain words that will elicit that little in you, and I think that's that's really powerful stuff. So.
It is, which is why I don't publicly share what those words are.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm like, yeah, come on.
Here's my world.
Here is how you can lay me.
That's brilliant. What I did pick up on there, Glass, is that you mentioned baby girls and baby boys and things like that. And that, I think it's easy to forget how many of those little monikers can apply to a caregiver relationship. But there's also the three main labels. Like, we're talking about littles right now, but then there's middles and bigs. And I'm quite a few years into this, and there are still people that kind of almost throw me a little bit of a curveball sometimes, I guess. So how would you, if someone came to you and said, okay, what's the difference between these three, how would you describe it as a little yourself?
It's basically the mindset. So a little, I would say, is probably the younger version. Certainly there's even, younger than a little, which would be, like looking at, they would most likely be into adult diaper baby, like diapers, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're going to go the other way. So little would be younger. It's difficult to give an age range because it's different for everyone. Middle, I think of school age type mindset. And big is definitely teenage, adolescent mindset. So they tend to be more rebellious and bratty, I guess would be a term, but not all the time.
I was just thinking that, like, it kind of almost becomes a bit of a slide in scale. If you started like all the way over at the beginning of the scale would be like your adult baby style. And then you move up a notch into little and then middle and then big and then maybe move into brat. And then you reach almost the grown-up level, which would be your kind of like submissives and masochists and things like that. So all of these tie into the other roles and labels and things, but you almost mature as you move up these different labels kind of thing. Like you could give people a sliding scale of where they sit in terms of how they see themselves. I think that would be so much better than the BDSM test. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And just be able to move it at will and be like, okay, today I'm down here on this side of the scale. And next day I'm like all the way over on this end of the scale, all right. The way. No Disney movies today.
Exactly.
No ice cream.
Yeah. Well, and I think I know for myself, like I know what kind of the age range that I tend to play in, but it's not something that I share publicly, although it is something that I am frequently asked by people, especially unfed in my inbox. It's a very frequent question.
And that brings me to another interesting point. With the prevalence of DDLG and things like that in media and whatnot, and the fact that it's so, I suppose, far reaching in terms of the dynamics that you can build. Do you find that it's more susceptible to that predatory behavior. You know, like people will label themselves a daddy because it means that people will flock to them as a caregiver, or because you're a little, they'll flock to you and be like, hey, call me daddy.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Simply, yeah. I do believe that it's more predatory. And I think it, certainly not all riddles do age regression, right? Or age play. But I think it's a very vulnerable headspace to be in.
Understandably, definitely.
And it takes a huge amount of trust. And unfortunately, there are people out there who will seek to take advantage of that for their own gains. Happens a lot.
I can imagine. So what would your advice be for anyone that's out there that thinks I identify with some of this? You know, I might want to explore being a little. What would your advice be in the face of that predatory behavior and whatnot?
It's really the same advice I would give anyone, which is go slow, which is so hard when you're excited about someone new and especially if you're being pursued. But one thing I kind of recognized with, you know, quote unquote predator, is they're not very patient in the sense that they're not willing to wait too long for you just to decide if you want to be with them or if you want to pursue a dynamic with them. Because, you know, they have the time to wait. So, and the faster they can get you in a dynamic, the faster they can get you to agree to the things that they want to do to you, you know, the less chance you have of kind of catching on to what they're actually about, right? So, you know, giving it a long amount of time, which is hard, and watching that behavior matches the words that are being said. I mean, basically the things that you would say in any relationship. And really asking the questions of, like, I mean, things I wished I had asked in prior dynamics would be, like, why does this role speak to me? What is it about being a caregiver? What is it about being a daddy that speaks to your heart, that makes you want to be in this dynamic with me? What can you provide for me? What do you need from me as your little? Like, these are conversations that I wish I would have had. Because I think the answers might have clued me in.
Yeah. Well, I think it's definitely been educational for me to be able to talk so openly about something like this, because I think, like you say, you know, you don't publicly advertise what kind of age range you play in and things like that, but being able to ask the questions of someone, I think is always really, really important. And I think if there is anyone that's out there that would like to talk about this, I think it's a really safe place to do so. Like with Kink 101, what we're trying to do with the Ask a Kinkster thing, I think something like this, where you are potentially more susceptible to that predatory behavior, being able to come to a place that you can ask someone who is in that role, you know, that label applies to, it's almost providing some kind of, I want to say protection, but not protection for them. And I think it's really valuable that you've been so willing to talk about it today.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I mean, on Discord too, right? On our Discord server, on Kink101 Discord server. I mean, anyone could come in and, I'd be happy to answer questions if they have them there.
I'm
as well.
Sure I'm going to have way more questions after this that I've forgotten to ask.
Of course. Happy, happy, happy to answer them.
And, Glass, I wanted to mention something as well, that you have a book, right?
I do. Yeah.
And it's for reading stories.
Yes. It's a short story, a short erotic story collection. There's poetry as well. And it's revolves around a DD dynamic, DDLG dynamic. There's nice. Some traditional BDSM things in there as well, because like I said, I don't always operate in the detail headspace, but it's about the love and care.
Yeah.
And a dynamic, and it's called Firefly Memories.
Firefly memories. Cool.
I love that. That's so cool. Thanks, Glass.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us this week. If you'd like to know more about kink and BDSM, or if you have your own adventure to share, please visit kink101.com. That's kynk101.com. Because we put the Y in kink.